Old Testament lesson this morning begins at the very end of Genesis chapter 10 and then goes on into chapter 11, the first 9 verses. And from them came the separate nations on earth after the flood. There was a time when all the world spoke a single language and used the same words. As people journeyed in the east, they came upon a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. They said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and bake them hard." They used bricks for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and make a name for ourselves, or we shall be dispersed over the face of the earth." The Lord came down to see the city and tower which they had built, and he said, "Here they are, one people with a single language, and now they have started to do this. From now on, they have a mind to do nothing they have a mind to do will be beyond their reach. Come, let us go down there and confuse their language so that they will not understand what they say to one another." So the Lord dispersed them from there all over the earth, and they left off building the city. That is why it is called Babel, because there the Lord made a babel of the language of the whole world. It was from that place the Lord scattered people over the face of the earth. And then our New Testament lesson is taken from the Acts of the Apostle, chapter 2, reading the first 12 verses. The day of Pentecost had come, and they were all together in one place. Suddenly there came from the sky what sounded like a strong driving wind, a noise which filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them flames like tongues of fire, distributed among them and coming to rest on each one. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to talk in other tongues as the Spirit gave them power of utterance. Now there were staying in Jerusalem devout Jews drawn from every nation under heaven. At this sound, a crowd of them gathered and were bewildered because each one heard his own language spoken. They were amazed and in astonishment exclaimed, "Surely these people who are speaking are all Galileans. How is it that each of us can hear them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, inhabitants of Mesopotamia, of Judea and Cappadocia, of Pontus and Asia, of Phrygia and Pamphylia, of Egypt and the districts of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, all of us hear them telling in our own tongues the great things God has done." They were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What can this mean?" Others said contemptuously, "They have been drinking." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Tina. We join in prayer. Lord, we give you this time. May what is spoken ring with truth. May what is heard and understood be touched by your Holy Spirit. And may what is decided lead us all on toward your kingdom. For Christ's sake, amen. D-Day, an awesome, terrible business. Apparently the sea off the beaches in Normandy was running with blood. In confusion, some landing craft opened their doors too far away from the shore, and soldiers, 19, 20 years of age, jumped out laden with heavy kit and went straight to the bottom in 20 or 30 feet of water. Others survived to tell the tales of one of the greatest battles in history. From D-Day to Pentecost is a long way. But then really from any human experience to the story in Acts chapter 2 that we have just heard is a long way. Sounds like rushing wind. Tongues as if on fire resting on each individual. Voices being heard in a myriad languages. A long way. On Thursday this week, I went to a meeting of ministers in Bristol. There was there much talk of prayer and some prayer. Lots of stories of healing, of the lost being saved, of churches praying together, of social projects being started. One minister was from St. Mark's Eastern, you may have seen on Points West on Thursday, that St. Mark's Baptist Church helped to provide the local Muslim community with facilities to serve some 6,000 meals in the street to mark iftar at the end of Ramadan. That aside, I found myself thinking in the meeting, well, this is all a long way from my experience of faith, my experience of the church. That's always been the issue. Knowing that it is a long way from Pentecost until now to ordinary human experience, how to make the long way into a short way. Some people have already decided it is too far from the world of the New Testament to today's world, decided that trying to find faith to cross that distance is a step too far. Maybe the physical distance from their home or the street where they live to church isn't very far at all, but maybe crossing that distance is too far. A long way from the freedoms and comforts of life, or from the highs and the holds of alcohol and drug addiction to the life of the church. From a battle against fascism, from the rigors of a hospital ward, from a life of unemployment or food poverty or rent arrears. A long way from those things to the coziness of religion, to prayer, to the promises of faith, to Pentecost. Others make the long way into a short way too easily. I spent years thinking that the long way really was a short way. Attended long, intense prayer meetings, even longer and even more intense services. Talked a lot about knowing what God wanted. Went with others to tell other people that knowing God felt very good. About how Jesus was the answer to everything. As if the way to God's Holy Spirit was a short way. I realize now that it wasn't until I stopped with the short way, started admitting that the life of faith was a long way from everyday, ordinary human experience, not till I accepted that there was a long way in this world from the Bible, from Pentecost, from Jesus to now, to Sword Beach, to a hospital ward, to a nice walk on Sunday. Not till then did I sense the beginnings of a call to ministry. It came back to me this week at that minister's meeting. For some, it is easy, it seems, to turn the long way into a short way. For me, it is still quite hard. May I ask you to be honest? No need to put your hands up. D-Day, an acute illness, an addiction, a comfortable lifestyle, on the one hand. On the other, Pentecost. A long way or a short way? If you find the way short, if you find prayer easy, if you see God's blessings everywhere, if you see that there is no distance at all, really, between Sword Beach and Pentecost, between tongues of flame and different languages and so on, well, God bless you. But please bear with me while I continue to wrestle with the long way. In this series, as Dave was explaining to us, we have thought about knowing Jesus after Easter. In absence, in the breaking of bread, in the mourning, in doubt, in the very business of making him known, in waiting. By on Pentecost Sunday, by the Holy Spirit. There are plenty of churches around where today they'll rejoice that they do indeed know God by the Holy Spirit. But I still think it is a long way from Pentecost. From the story of those disciples with their tongues of flame and their multifarious languages to D-Day, an acute illness, an addiction, a comfortable lifestyle. A long way. We've heard the story with its echoes of the Babel story in Genesis. The common understanding is that Babel, the story in Genesis, is about God confusing the language and scattering folk all over the earth as a kind of a punishment, and Pentecost is the story of God overcoming the language and drawing folk back together again at Jerusalem. How's that working out then? That long way again. But what if the Babel story, or the story of God confusing language and scattering folk all over the earth, is not a story of punishment, but a story of grace? What if that is the understanding that begins to turn the long way into a short way? God graciously scattered. Not punished people for Babel, not punished them for trying to come together and build a tower, but used his grace to give them a chance to be the best kind of human beings that they could be. What if being scattered all over the earth, different languages, different cultures, different religions even, was exactly so that we would become more truly human. So that we would not build towers to the heavens. So that we would not create empires, nations, in which everybody speaks the same, believes the same, acts the same, places that are controlled and limited and closed. They are all around in the world today as increasingly dissent is stamped upon. But what if variety is the true mark of being human? But only if Pentecost, only if people hear in their own language, only if they understand one another, only if they come together in their variety, not because they are the same, not Pentecost reduced to some kind of magic trick with tongues of flame, not Pentecost offered as an easy answer to the world's problems, but as a sign that we can be, as human beings, the very best that we can be when we come together in our variety to understand and listen and rejoice at our differences. That's Pentecost. How sad, how simplistic, how self-serving to reduce this glorious story to a matter of intense religious experience for a few Christians. It is supposed to be a sign of God's grace in the world. Not so much Babel reversed, but Babel replaced. Not one-dimensional, all the same unity. That's fascism. That's terrible. Sometimes only something as terrible as D-Day can overcome its force. But multidimensional, unity in diversity. We are together despite our differences. Rejoice when a church and a mosque work together to celebrate iftar. Just don't worry too much that all the Muslims aren't Christians. Rejoice when a dictatorship is vanquished in the name of freedom. Rejoice when the fire of the Holy Spirit comes down, not on a few Christians, but on a world, to help us understand and listen and come together. It's still a long way to a world where D-Day is not needed, where hospitals are not needed, where drugs and drink are not needed. But there is no religious way to make the long way shorter. There is only God's way, the Holy Spirit's way. The Pentecost way. Till one day it can be said with the writer of Hebrews, I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people, and they shall teach one another, and they shall not teach one another or say to one another, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. From the greatest to the least.